Okay, good afternoon. I'll call the meeting to order, and our first item of business is approval of the minutes from the October 17th meeting.
Doug, I will make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second that. Any discussion regarding the minutes? Okay, all in favor of approval, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
This is Matt. I'll vote aye.
Okay. Then we do have some loans this month. I just got to get to the right page here.
Mr. Chairman, that's approved for public purpose.
Thank you. We've got a little over $8.3 million in loans this month, and I'll make a motion to approve them.
Doug, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion about the loans this month? Okay. Then all in favor of approval, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay. Item number four is a discussion item. We have, I think you're familiar with, both familiar with the fact that there was something in the budget to address the school energy efficiency projects loans issue, and it was written in a way though that does not have the change go into effect till January 1 of 2018. And Jonathan and Tom felt it would be a good idea to discuss this because we didn't have any such loans in the queue, but we think that there might be some consideration for that January 1st deadline, and we felt it might be wise for us to discuss as a board having some policy as to what we're going to do for the next not quite 2 months on this issue, just if nothing else to give the school district some certainty as to what our position is going to be. Did I state that right, Jonathan? Or Tom?
Yeah. Would you like me to elaborate, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Yeah, we've looked at this, and technically, first of all, there was some confusion. I was confused in the initial language of the budget that we thought that this was going to be effective on the date it was signed by the governor. But after the governor's veto is taking effect, it's now clear that that you could do a loan if the school district has passed a resolution before January 1st. The problem comes in that there's just not a lot of time, and, you know, our process typically takes 30 to 45 days. And so I think that you've got two things going here. One is you've got legislative intent that's been expressed to end this, and two, you've got the issue of can we get it done. So I think the policy would probably, and Matt brought this up too as well, you probably would have guessed, but the policy of certainty for the school districts that we're done accepting them would be acceptable to staff here as well.
Well, this is Doug. So the question I have is, given the new language and therefore the new law, which goes into effect on January 1st, does that say that since January 1st we may not accept applications or we may not grant loans?
It really says that school districts may not take out energy efficiency loans after that date. But as a practical matter, if they haven't passed the resolution in time for our process to be concluded and theirs with their board meetings, the question's kind of moot, Doug. So they have to have passed a resolution by well before January 1st and before our timeline.
I understand that, but we can't control what they do. Other than to alert them to the new law, which might be a worthwhile public service on our part, to let them know, assuming they haven't discovered it yet. My question was, assuming they pass a resolution sometime in the next, whatever it is, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and assuming that resolution were to come just for fun on December 25th or something, and once they pass that resolution, Does that mean that we then could grant that loan if it didn't get consummated until next year?
No, I don't believe so. It means that the loan can't be consummated after January 1st.
Okay, well, that was my question. Okay, so then that means that you say, assuming we got a loan from request from them on December 1st, you say we couldn't process it by the end of the month?
Depending on the timing of the board meetings, we could or could not. We just can't be for sure.
The actual mechanism for this was different than yes you can do it, no you can't. What they were actually getting at were the mechanisms of school financing. And so the way that things had worked for the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, was that by passing the resolution, if the school board passes a resolution to borrow money for an energy efficiency project, just by passing that resolution, what that would do is it would raise the revenue limit for that school district in an amount equal to whatever it costs the school district for the expenses of that project or to pay back the debt associated with that project. So in essence, if the school district was already at a point where they couldn't raise their levy without running into a revenue limit, this allowed a school district to, in essence, raise that revenue limit just by passing the borrowing resolution. It had nothing to do with our end of it. It had everything to do with the school district's end of it.
I understand that. And so we are sort of a passive agent here.
Yes.
Other than my earlier comment about alerting them to this, all we can do is wait and see if a loan arrives. And my question is, if it arrives on December 1st or December 17th, can we get it processed under some emergency process?
The technical answer, Doug, is yes, we can, because of the fact that it's passage of the resolution by the school district that actually is the key point in time in terms of whether or not it raises their revenue limits.
Yeah, this is Matt. I think just for clarity, it would be easier for these school boards to know. I mean, there's only, as Doug said, 6 weeks left. I think we just say that we're not going to accept any before the end of the year. There would just be, I mean, they could go other avenues if there's any school districts still doing these. There's other options available to them besides us. I think it just makes sense to just say we're not accepting any more loans on this for the next 6 weeks. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay, but Tom, you didn't really answer my question. I understand that it's up to them to decide whether to pass a resolution and therefore, if the numbers are set, raise their limit. But once they do that, then they apply for a loan. And they can apply for that loan the next day after the resolution, if they're organized. The question is, if we get that loan application on a certain day, December 1st, December 15th, can we process it before the end of the year?
The short answer is yes. The way our process works is the community contacts us, and we provide them with the resolution. They pass that resolution, and then submit the application to us. And so they would have to contact us ahead of time. We provide them with the resolution. And if they pass that resolution before the end of the year, yes, we could process that loan then.
Even if the paperwork wasn't finished until next year?
The important thing, like I said, in the timing, is their passage of the loan resolution.
Yeah.
So as long
I'm sorry, Doug.
As long as that passage happens before the end of the year, then that loan can be consummated.
Yes.
Okay, that was my question. Brad, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, as I read the governor's veto language, I agree with Tom's assessment that
right.
All it has to happen is they have to pass a resolution by January 1st. That then they could still submit the loan to us. The issue for us is whether we want to give them some indication as to what to expect from us. So if they want to pursue other avenues, they can go ahead and do that from another, go a different direction than from us. And I've voted for these in the past, even though we knew that the legislature was at least looking at eliminating or severely limiting this authority. Now we're in a different situation because now we know clearly what the legislature wants to have done and, well, what ultimately the governor signed. I think we're in a different boat, and
I understand that, and we now know what the law is and will be. Let me say, I think it's our obligation to follow the law as it is. And that means that our policy should not change until January 1st. It would be unfair for us to decide that we are going to change the law, which is not our responsibility. Tom, does that make sense? You're the lawyer.
Well, we have two lawyers on the phone here, and one of them is the lawyer for the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's true, Brad. I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm sorry, Doug. Could you say that one more time?
No, I mean, I believe in following the law as it is.
Mm-hmm.
The speed limit right now on my street is 25, and the law says that on January 1st it'll become 45. I can't drive 45 until January 1st. You follow the law as it is at the time you're considering action. And therefore, I think we should follow our current policy until the law is changed, which will happen on January 1st. It would be unfair to people out there for us to say, oh, we're going to change the law ahead of time.
Well, this is Matt. I mean, my only concern would be, and we don't know if school districts are even going to come to us. This is an unknown. But there would be nothing to stop 10, 20 school districts from passing these at the very end of December, and then them being using us as the easiest revenue to go, you know, outlet to go to, and then dropping 10 or 20 of these on our doorstep. I just think the law is pretty clear what they want. The legislative intent's there, just like the Attorney General mentioned. I think it'd be better for the school district to know that we are probably not interested in this. Obviously, I'm not going to vote for any of them. And so it'd probably be better for them to look at other options, so if they are going to go for a loan, they can go to another avenue.
Well, that's clear. Matt, I know you'll vote against them, and in the past you have. Again, sort of an informal legal opinion for you, Brad. If a district passed a resolution sometime between now and the end of the year, and we denied them, I think they could sue us, and they say, look, law is this, you can't unilaterally.
They couldn't sue us. We have no legal responsibility to give a loan to anyone.
Brad?
There's no requirement.
We do have the discretion, and I dropped off for a moment there. I must have hit a dead spot on the highway here, but we do have the discretion to deny a loan. We can simply vote. We could just have two members that vote against it. So I don't think they can sue us as long as we don't do it based on some improper.
We have the discretion to deny a loan if it is in proper order. I didn't know we could unilaterally decide to do that. We've always, for the years I've been on the board, we've always accepted a loan if it met public purpose and the paperwork was correct. Maybe Tom can help me here, but I don't know how we can just unilaterally decide. Well, I'm angry at Stevens Point. I'm gonna deny their applications for a loan. To me, this is as clear as you can be. The law is what the law is.
Doug, we can deny a loan for a variety of reasons, not related to, the value of the loan, or the perfection of the loan. For example, if we're in a cash illiquid situation, we decide that we can't make that loan because we need to keep a reserve. That'd be one reason why we could deny a loan.
I understand that. That's never happened, to my knowledge.
I don't think it has either.
Well, what the board has done at various times over the last half century, there are certain types of loans that we would set limits for. For example, when the board was active in lending to communities to finance their unfunded pension liabilities, we would say, okay, we're going to set aside, pick a number, you know, $30 million for that, and we're going to only do it at this time of the year. And so the board has adopted policies from time to time that have limited certain types of loans to certain times of year and certain dollar amounts. Going back a little bit further, you know, in my review of some of the records of the board, there have been times that the board just denied a loan to a community based upon the fact that they didn't want to do that particular loan. So,
really? Wow. Yeah. I hope I didn't vote to do that.
No. That was before your tenure.
I have one more thing I should add to this. As I always do, and I try to keep people apprised, I called Superintendent Tony Evers today, and he called me back, and I explained to him that this issue was in front of the board today, and that the board could very well vote to cease accepting loans to the end of the year. But I, you know, and that was the board decision. Tony said he understood completely that was something that they could consider and do, and didn't seem to be particularly upset by it at all. He just was appreciative that we gave him a heads up.
Well, that's interesting, but I think it's completely clear. We have to follow the law as it is at the moment, and that is how it will be until January, or December 31st or January 1st. So in order to move this ahead, I know how Matt's going to vote, so it depends upon you, Brad. I'll make a motion that we continue our current policy until the end of the year, because to me that makes sense. It sounds like Brad's not going to second that, so I guess the board's going to stop taking applications.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Okay, this is Matt. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I guess I would make, it's just in anticipation of a new law that's out there. It's the law starting January 1. I understand what Doug's point is, but I think it makes it easier for the school districts to know. There will be less uncertainty if, let's say, they go ahead and, as Doug said, in the middle of December and are taking out this resolution, then they would know to look at for a local bank or bond house or whatever it is, so they don't have to come to us and then possibly get denied for it. It's just easier for them because they have to put, Doug, in the resolution. They have to put their funding source in the resolution. So if they ended up taking out a loan through the Trust Fund Loan Program, to your argument, because I think you like these loans, they would then, if we did the Doug, Brad, or I, or one of you join me, the loan wouldn't exist then. So they couldn't redo it. The resolution would be done.
Well, yeah, if we adopt my proposed resolution, they will have certainty, and they will know that...
No, they wouldn't have certainty because they wouldn't have certainty that we for sure would vote for it. They could just apply for it. I think we could just move on and just... I think a simple motion just saying that... I mean, it's only 6-7 weeks here. This isn't a big deal, and we don't even know if anybody's applying for it, but it just makes it easier for the locals, if they were, to what... Jonathan just said for Tony Evers, they would know, okay, if we're going for loans, we should go somewhere else. It's only 6 weeks. I don't think this is that big of a deal. So I guess my motion would be in anticipation of the new law that Governor Walker signed, the VCPL no longer accepts energy efficiency loans for
Well, that's, pardon me, but that's nonsense. I mean, there's two ways to have, we can tell them no more loans, and that's certainty, or we can say, we will follow the law, as I think we should, and we will accept loans until the end of the year. That's also certainty.
I said no more loans. That is certainty, just to your point, for this program.
Someone interrupted me. What did you say?
Nothing.
I don't know. That wasn't me.
Brad, as usual, it's up to you. I mean, as an elected official, I think... You and I have an obligation to let these people follow the law and not circumvent it.
It's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, and it's clear that the spirit
of the legislature and the governor is that these loans no longer be available
on January 1st.
Yeah, I know, and I'm puzzled.
Think about my speed limit example. It was the spirit of the city council to increase the speed limit on January 1st, but I can't start that until January 1st. I follow the law as it is. I mean, that's so obvious, Brad. You're a lawyer. Think about it.
This is all kind of hypothetical anyway, because we don't.
It could
have
be hypothetical, but
it's unsavory to quick rush now, because no one's talking about this. We don't have anybody that has approached us about this issue. They'd really be doing a heck of a rush job now to get this done in between all the holidays here to get it to us by the end of the year to get a resolution done.
That's their problem, not ours.
Doug, can I just make one point? And if you want to finish talking, I'll let you go, but then I'll have one point. Okay, my point is simple. Whatever community that this could be, Doug, you, me, and Brad, we all represent them. I understand we have different roles in our capacities as our separate constitutional offices, but to the unsavory comment, I agree. I mean, this could be done at the middle of December when people are in the middle of, you know, vacations, holidays. It's just, if they're going to pass it, they're going to be known. They don't need to use this. They can use any other, you know, avenue available to them. They can just go to a local bank for this one loan. And we don't know if anybody's even going to do this, but I would hate for 10 or 20 of these to be dropped on us in the middle of December. And then if we didn't do something, then we would have an obligation. The staff might feel the obligation to rush these through.
No, that isn't true. Tom explained to me the process, and the drop dead time is passed to the resolution. We can finish the paperwork at our leisure. We don't have to rush it through. That's why I asked that important question 10 minutes ago.
I see what you're saying. You mean we could do it after 2018?
Exactly.
Or January 1. Yeah, I know, but then we would be voting. You, Doug, and Brian and I would be voting on something that at that point it no longer can be done. I understand it would have technically been slipped through beforehand, but this doesn't seem like that big of a deal. We're probably not even going to get any of these, but I think it'd make it more clear for the local school districts if they understood that this one loan they're not available to get from us, just this one loan. So my motion was that we just say, so we're no longer accepting any DCPL loans for energy efficiency, just this one section.
Where are we at with remaining funds for municipal loans at this point?
Brad, this is Rich. We have about $100 million in cash available right now.
We've gotten these loans in the past, a couple million, right? Is that?
Well,
I don't remember.
They vary in size. They have varied in size from a couple $100,000 to as much as $12 to $13 million, I think, that the one from Wisconsin Rapids was approved for.
Well, West Dallas's was for $15 million.
Yeah.
The one for Wisconsin Rapids, I think, was around 10, and I think Racine or Kenosha did another 10 or so. So these could be big, big loans that we would be passing if the legislative intent was no more. And we all know the governor wanted to end this day one. He had to use the language. I mean, there's a 1,000-year ban. I mean, you can't do these till 3018. He would have wiped them out day one, but he had to work with the language that was given to him.
There runs a real potential that 10 large loans, and we'd be out of funds to even provide the loan. That's not certainty for the school districts.
I think that's extremely unlikely.
Doug, I'm only going to say this. I would not be surprised if we didn't give guidance on this today. I'm just going to be honest. I will not be surprised if by the mid to late December, school districts are just rapidly passing these, because this is their window. They can't do it for 1,000 years after it. So this would be their window. So we could, as I said, a bunch of these loans to the $100 million available, We could be dumped $15 million, $20 million, $10 million. They could be rushing these through, and then we would have to vote on them. Now, you're in favor of them, so that's your opinion. But I don't, and I think the Attorney General might be a little bit more uncomfortable because, as you said, the intent is pretty clear of the bill that's signed by Governor Walker.
I've made my point clear. It's not our position to change the law. And I have to keep driving 35 until January 1st.
Well, I'd rather drive 40. I got 30. I'd rather just move ahead. There's nothing to stop us from going here before January 1st.
If you start driving, you'll get a ticket.
No, I guess I'd go on the lower side, 5 less. So we can always drive a little bit less.
I'm concerned that if we got a mad rush of these loans, that could very severely affect our balance.
Well, I don't think that's the case, Rich. I mean, that $100 million we have, that isn't static for the next 6 weeks. We have cash revenue coming in all the time, also.
Well, additions to the principal, you know, are really from the sale of bonds and things like that until March 15th. On March 15th, we will be receiving over $50 million. I would think that between now and then, we probably will not receive a whole lot of additions to principal.
Aren't we reserving some money for
we do have some other investment opportunities that we're looking at, in addition to the loan program at this time?
Right now we have a potential $30 million Vita and a potential unknown amount with the DOA crime lab.
That's correct.
So the $100 million is pretty thin, you know, when you get right down to it.
We're looking at some other opportunities. We do not know if we're going to actually make those investments, but they are under consideration at this time. We're also looking at the venture capital funds, which may require closing before the end of the year. So we're completing our due diligence on those now, and until that due diligence is completed, we won't know the answer to that one. But there is the DOA building of the Justice Crime Lab that we are looking at an opportunity to participate in the financing of that project, and also we are looking at the acquisition of some loans from WIDA that that financed low-income housing units. And we haven't come to terms with WIDA, so I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's on the table right now.
Brad, for what it's worth, I mean, I was the guy who put this on the agenda, although I was asked by a board member. I would recommend that, and I know you're not going to be happy with me, Doug, but I would recommend that we give a clear signal that we're not going to accept loans to the end of the year of this caliber because of, I'm a little worried to get it all done. Tom's right, we can extend that into the following year, but we already have had emails going back and forth with some school districts expressing concern about whether or not we're going to make a loan in this area. Was that Stockbridge, Rich?
There was one school district that has indicated interest in moving forward before the end of the year.
But they also indicated in their email that they didn't want to be left holding the bag if we didn't approve the loan.
That's true.
And so that's what led me to conclude that it was worthwhile for the board to have this discussion and to seriously consider a policy statement that would say we're going to follow the legislative intent from now that we know it's what the intent is and the law has been passed.
Well,
I think Doug makes a compelling argument about the rule of law, but we're down to $100 million. We have got several pretty large projects that are looming right now as potential large scale loans, and if we announce that we're doing this, we could invite a glut of these loans that comes in quick before the end of the year, resolutions that could put us in a position that some of those loans don't get granted because we're going to have other priorities that are going to bump them. And $100 million is a heck of a lot of money, but not necessarily
for an agency that, you know, routinely has meetings where we routinely, on the regular local loans, are approving $8 to $10 million every meeting. I think we're going to run out of that $100 million, and I think we will ultimately create no certainty. It's going to be the first ones in might succeed, but we're going to reserve some of that $100 million, and some of them might be out in the cold.
Well, again, I don't think that's our place. Our place is to process requests that are legally submitted in the time that they're submitted. Now, not to second guess and say, okay, we're going to stop taking these kind because in the future we may have those kind. I think that exceeds our authority, and I think it's wrong.
Well, then ultimately we may walk away from this meeting giving them no certainty at all. If we don't approve a vote one way or the other, then we just leave them unsure what's going to happen. Because we will set aside reserves for some of these large-scale loans that we have financing opportunities for some state projects, and we do want to reserve some money for some investments. And one of the things we'll mention today is, again, Rich was wildly successful in investment that he engaged in on behalf of our fiduciary, so our beneficiary. So I guess we leave this thing, I don't know that there's a motion right now. Doug's motion didn't get a second.
You want to just do a motion? I mean, something, I have to ask Jonathan to give us a motion, just to write up, just to read something that I could second?
Well, it's right in the agenda. Consideration of vote on adopting a board policy to decline acceptance of applications for state trust fund loans for school energy efficiency projects for the balance of the year.
So you would just add the word declining to basically what's there?
Right.
Okay, well, I would make that motion as Jonathan read.
I'll second that. Then, any other discussion?
We have to vote on it.
Okay, yeah. This is Doug. I want it on the record quite clear that I object strongly to this process by the board. I am going to vote no, as you can imagine, and I think we are slamming the door in the face of the people who elected us across the state. I hope they protest this strongly, and I want that in the record.
Well, it is. Okay. Then all in favor say aye.
Is Matt, I'll vote aye.
Brad, I'll vote aye.
Doug, I vote no.
Okay. Then do we have any future agenda items to discuss today? And then go ahead.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. We have an executive secretary's report.
It's attached, and you alluded to it. There's only one thing that I'd like to add to the transaction report, and that is that Rich, the investment committee met about, 40 days ago, 35 days ago, and we let you know then that we made a $30 million investment in inflation-protected treasuries, or TIPS. Rich made that recommendation, and the committee agreed, and we bought those bonds. And yesterday, day before yesterday, Rich made a sale of them, and I guess he should report the result.
Thank you, Jonathan. You know, a little bit of background. When we're looking to invest, you know, we really do search for value. And we started looking at these TIPS a few months ago. We saw that the spreads were sometimes high and they were sometimes low. You know, we buy these at an inflation plus a spread, and that spread ranged from inflation plus 0.85% to inflation plus 1%. But we also noticed, you know, a wave-like cycle to these spreads. And, of course, we waited until the spreads were high before we decided to make our first purchase. Now, these spreads are dependent on the inflation expectations within the market. And we also know that the market often overreacts to the current news cycle. that means that inflation expectations and tips will likely change, sometimes really dramatically, when a new story hits the market. Now, the current turmoil in the Middle East, you've read about Saudi Arabia and some other factors, had the effect of increasing oil prices by $3 a barrel, which increased the inflation expectations and the prices of these bonds. We think that this is a temporary situation, and so we took advantage of this new cycle to sell all $30 million of our TIPS to generate an $800,000 profit. We only had this investment for about 6 weeks, but we believe that we're going to be able to buy back our bonds at a lower price in the next month or two. Also, you know, we're going to be looking for this pattern to repeat, and we hope to be able to take advantage again in the near future. Now, we never invest with short-term gains as the primary goal. You know, the big advantage for BCPL is our long-term investment horizon. If the markets turn against us, we can hold an investment for the long term. But in the meantime, we can also take advantage of this volatility for short-term gains that will increase the annual distribution to our beneficiaries. And this $800,000 will be added to the distribution in 2018, taking that up. The total amount that will be distributed from our capital gains will be above $3 million now.
This is a short-term capital gain, not a long-term, so it goes to the beneficiaries directly as a distribution in the calendar year.
That's right.
So it increases our ability to fund the K-12 schools this year.
That's fantastic work, Rich.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Great job.
That's all I got, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right, then. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Matt, I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Matt. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tom, could you give me a call?
Sure.